We're doing Parashat Chayei Sarah, so Avram buries his wife and seeks a wife for his son Yitzchak. One of our responsibilities as parents is to ensure our children get married. In Judaism, we don't view marriage as the child's responsibility. We view it as the parents are supposed to bring the child to the chuppah. We say it when a child goes into a bris, you should merit to raise him le Torah le chuppah ulmasim tovim. Part of raising a child is you raise them to the chuppah. If I could ask you just to shift the drop, there's a camera behind you. Can you shift the drop? Toda rabah. The idea of raising a child to a chuppah is composed of numerous things. The first one is education. Parents are very into raising their children to have a trade. Let me make sure my child is the Jewish doctor, the Jewish lawyer, the Jewish accountant, the Jewish psychiatrist. Your child has to be the Jewish parent. Part of our chinuch, part of how we raise our children, is we raise them to marriage. And this is especially important when it comes to raising daughters. Obviously, it's true about raising boys, but in the area of daughters is where the last century has seen a huge shift, where many families will raise their daughters to have a career, to develop themselves, to see their potential, and girls very often don't see themselves as mothers. They see themselves as career women. And the first thing a person should see himself as is as a parent. Everything else you do is secondary. It is probably the greatest accomplishment you will do in this world, and that is the family you will build. So part of how we educate our children involves educating them to be parents. So you don't tell a kid at 5 years old, how will you be a good parent if you behave that way? That's not the idea. But part of the perspective you develop in a child is that they will get married and build a family. You're raising a child to the chuppah. Part of raising a child is I'm raising them to the idea that they will build their family one day. That's the role model. That's the place where we're teaching them towards. It is dead wrong to expose a child to rainbow education. Aside from the fact that you're exposing them to biblically prohibited acts, the whole perspective is you're going towards building a family. That's how you're teaching the child. That's where the child should be headed. And so boys and girls have to grow up with that concept that we're going to build a family, we're going to be parents, and we have a responsibility to develop towards that task. So Avram is seeking out a wife for Yitzchak. Why doesn't Yitzchak seek out the wife for himself? That's a good question. Why didn't Yitzchak go alone? It seems that Avram knew that it's more likely that they'll find the right wife out there, and Yitzchak wasn't up to going. Chazal tell us when you go to seek out a wife, you have to know your own weaknesses. It says in the Gemara, and it's ruled in Halacha, that when a Talmud Chacham goes to find a wife, he should take an Amaretz along with him. Talmud Chacham goes to find a wife, take an Amaretz, take someone who's not learned with you. There are going to be things that you need him at your side. When it comes to choosing a wife, you can be very smart in Torah and everything else, but it's a good idea to have someone else who's not so learned with you. So Avram is going to help Yitzchak find the wife. It seems that it's self-evident. The Torah doesn't even have to say it, but it seems self-evident that Yitzchak was in on this whole plan. It wasn't that Avram's taking care of everything and Yitzchak's sitting at home, and one day this girl shows up out of the sunset and wow, here's your wife. The commentaries say that Yitzchak was in on it. Avram was the one guiding the servant, but Yitzchak was obviously in on the plan. Yes?
Can you explain the implications of that statement?
What do you mean?
What does that mean? We don't need to kind of bring someone else, don't bring the process.
When we'll be Talmud Chacham, we'll have to worry about it. And then we'll probably know what it means to bring an Amaretz along. Saying it's not so relevant to us. We're not so highfalutin. We're not holding there. It's not so Eliezer comes and Avram blesses him that Hashem should send his angel ahead of him. What angel is being sent ahead of Eliezer? So the regular reading is, that's why everything worked out right. Ibn Ezra says, it was the angel of dreams. So the night before Eliezer shows up, Besuel and Lavan, they're all having these dreams that Hashem is about to marry off their sister. And so that's why when Eliezer shows up, They're all talking like God said this should happen. Everything is God sent. So the regular reading of the parasha is they were superstitious people. So when Eliezer tells them this fantastic story, it's all the hand of God. Don't you see? I just finished saying I'm looking for a wife, and the girl that offers me a drink and my camels, you see, she did it. It's the hand of God. You got to let me do this. So that's the regular reading. And the Ibn Ezra says they had all dreamt about it the night before. That was Avram's blessing. Hashem should send his angel before you. So when it happened, it was deja vu. Hey, that's what we dreamt last night. Of course, it's the hand of God. This is what should happen. They backed it. Okay. Eliezer comes in, and they tell him, you're welcome into our house. We cleared it of idols. So they know that Eliezer won't come into a house of idols. And Eliezer tells them, I'm supposed to take a family member, and she'll come back and enjoy all this wealth. So, Chazal tell us, a person's not allowed to marry a woman for her wealth. And if a person does, then Chazal wish him, they give him a special curse, that he will not enjoy that wealth at all. The two will not live out their lives together. Life will end very quickly, and the wealth will disappear. And Chazal say, he who marries a woman for her wealth has many curses waiting for him. You're not allowed to do that. But if she's the right one and she happens to be wealthy, there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't marry her for her wealth. So what's Eliezer doing telling them about all the wealth? It was clear that Rivka was interested not for the money. But he has to talk their language. Besuel and Lavan. So for them, he says, look, we were blessed. We have all this wealth. It's going to be good for her. Besuel is silent. We don't hear from him again the rest of the story. So we discussed the Medrash that Besuel passed away. Tosus brings another story. Tosus says Besuel, it was his relative. He was interested. It was his wife that wasn't interested because it wasn't her family. So that's why he didn't have to say anything. It was she and Lavan that were putting up the fight. So Rivka is being given, and Rivka is interested. And we see that the servant gives gifts to the rest of the family. This is an important concept also. When you guys get married, what is the most common mistakes that chatanim make in the Sheva Brachos? They forget to thank the Kala's family. Every chassan in every speech should say good words about the Kala's family. Say nice things about her parents, about her siblings, about her uncles, about her aunts. Whatever positive thing you could say about her family, it makes her happy and it makes them happy. And chatanim forget this. They get up there and they say a very nice Dvar Torah, and the family gets really ticked at them, even though everyone's diplomatic and nice, but in their belts, in their stomachs, they're a little bit upset. I flew in all the way from Australia. The guy couldn't say two words. You know, you have to address every member that came in. And you see, even Eliezer, once the shidduch is closed, he gives gifts to the rest of the family. And that's a smart thing to do. You go to visit your in-laws, bring something, bring a cake, bring a bottle of wine, discover what they like. Learn from Eliezer. Once it's a done deal, he starts making sure he has buddies in the family. Okay. So then they want to detain her. And Eliezer says, nope, don't detain it. And that's an important rule in dating also. When you reach the point that you're ready to get engaged, don't detain it. There's only so long that a relationship can last on a certain level. Life is always going up or down. You've reached the point of engagement, you could hold on to it for a certain amount of time, then you have to get engaged. You've gotten engaged, you could hold on to that stage for a certain amount of time, then you got to get married. At certain points in a relationship, if you don't move up, you move down. And sometimes you can never go back up again. We had over here numerous guys that had very good reasons why they wanted to extend their relationship. They had the girl and they were confident and it would work out right, and everything was great. I said to them, you guys have a window of opportunity. If you get engaged in that window, it will work. And if not, your relationship will self-destruct. And many guys did not listen. And I've seen many guys here whose relationship self-destructed. You're one of them? I didn't know. Okay. But I've seen it. I've seen it numerous times. There's a window. And if you're with Mrs. Wright, at that window, you have to get engaged. And then you have the next window of marriage. The ideal time to get married after engagement is between 2 and 3 months after engagement. You want to extend it 4 months. You really want to push it 5 months. Once you go beyond that, you're extending it to a time period that you're really putting the relationship to a test. And very often it will self-destruct. After you got married, you have a window at which you have to attempt to bring a child to the world. If you decide, no, let's have time together, let's enjoy our romance, let's not worry about kids in the future. I'm not talking about the halachic perspective. I'm saying there's a window of opportunity for you to move your relationship forward. If you take that window, you build your relationship. You decide, let's put everything on hold. You should know that you don't have a guarantee your relationship will last long enough to go to the next stage. That's the way Hashem created us. If a couple tries and then they have fertility issues, okay, it's like any challenge in life. You can make it work. But you're trying. You're trying to move your relationship to the next stage. But if a couple says, we're not, we're just going to stay in this romance stage and we're not trying to bring a kid to the world, usually the relationship will self-destruct. There's only so long you can hold on to a relationship on a certain level. Eliezer says to them, we agreed to marriage. Last night, everyone agreed. That means we're at that stage. Don't detain me now. They say, 10 months. Let her get ready. No. Now, we're ready for the next stage. She's coming home with me now. If not, I'm going to look for another shidduch. And that's a very smart thing. You have to know. There's another hidden message in what Eliezer says. Yesterday you were ready to marry her. She's Mrs. Wright. So what does that mean? I'll go look for someone else. Didn't you say it's all from Hashem? Didn't you say it's all right? Didn't you say this is the right girl? If you believe it's from Hashem and she's the right girl, then how could you say today I'm ready to move on to someone else? The answer is you always have to be ready to move on to someone else. In marriage, you're dedicated. This is Mrs. Wright. We're going to make it work. It doesn't matter how hard it is. We're going to make it work. But pre-marriage and post-marriage, move on. You don't put all your bets in one place. Yesterday, Eliezer was telling them, she's the only one that's right. Eliezer was saying, this is perfect. This is the girl I came. Look, God showed us every sign in the book. And everyone agreed. The next morning, they're playing games with him. He says, look, if it's not right, I'll go on to someone else. And that's a critical approach. It's a healthy approach in life. So long as this is going to work, I'm focused on you, I'll give all the gifts, we're making it work. It's not going to work, there are other girls out there. I'm not a dead man, life doesn't end. It's hard, it's heartbreaking, it's difficult, right, okay, but what choice do I have? I got to move forward. Got to move forward means I'm going to go look for someone else. And this is a critical point. We should never put all our bets in one place. You got married, you put all your bets in one place, finished. Once you got married, you put the ring on her finger, that's it. You make life work with her. God forbid the marriage ended, the woman passed away, whatever happened, you have to move forward. A person once went to Rabbi Feinstein, and his marriage was terribly on the rocks, and he said to Rabbi Feinstein, he says, I don't think I'll ever find happiness without her. And Rabbi Feinstein, who was very tough against divorce, said to him, don't talk that way. As gentle as Rabbi Feinstein was, he said, that's not an approach a person should take to life. You had happiness with her, you want to make the marriage work, make the marriage work. And if in the end it doesn't work, you can't say, I can't find happiness without her. There's no such thing in life. There's a world out there, you move forward. Like Eliezer says to them, if this isn't going to work, I'm going to go to the right or the left. There are other girls out there. So they say, let's ask the girl. Rivka says, I'm going. They ask her, do you want to go? And she says, I'm going. In other words, I'm going. If you guys don't let, I'm going. I'm not asking you. I'm going. And that's part of the independence that people have to have in marriage. Your parents can help you. Your rabbis can help you. Your counselor can help you. Your therapist can help you. Everyone can help you. At the end of the day, you have to say, I'm going. It's your life, and it's only you who will pay the repercussions of the right and the wrong decision. No one else can tell you what to do. You will eat the cake. Whichever way you bake it, you will eat it. And you have to call the shot. Rivka's a little girl. She's going with her wet nurse. But she's making the decision, because in life you have to make the decision. As much as people will pressure you and advise you, and you trust them, and you believe they have a special siyata dishmaya, right? Doesn't matter. You have to make the decision. It's your life. You can take everyone's counsel. You make the decision. Yes or no? Rivka says, I'm going. You guys want to send me? You'll send me. You don't want to send me? I'm still going. So they send her, and they bless her. And from here we have the custom that we bless a kala before the wedding. This is where we ended last week, last class. It's a beautiful custom. If you guys, if your relatives aren't aware of it, then make them aware of it. If your parents are Jewish, then at the chuppah they should bless you. Her parents should bless her. It's a very nice custom. Not at the chuppah. The blessing is usually done at the bedekin. When you cover her, which is what they did here, they sent her off. So she gets blessed, if not by the parents, then by your teachers. It's a very exciting moment. There is a Yekish custom that people bless their children Friday night. Many people have adopted this custom. It is one of the most beautiful moments of the week. When you're coming to Shabbos, and the family's going to get together. So every child comes to the parent, he puts his two hands on their head, and he blesses them. To the boys, you say, Simcha Elokim Kefraim V'chim Nashe, and then you say, Birkat Kohanim, Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, etc. To girls, you say, Yisimech Elokim Kesarav Karachel V'chana, sorry, Sarav Karachel V'lea, and then you say, Birkat Kohanim, Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, etc. People sometimes get confused. And we have to remember what Shlomo HaMelech said, Lakol Zeman. There's a correct time for everything. There's a time to fight, and there's a time to make peace. There's a time to rebuke, and there's a time to show love. Shabbos is a time to show love. Sometimes Shabbos is the key time when you're with family. So you think, this is the time, I'll tell my kid, you know, I saw what you got on that test, and I saw the way you spoke to your mother, and I don't like the fact that you're picking on your sister. What are you doing? So the Shabbos table is going to be a place of a fight all over again. The kid comes to you for a blessing Friday night. It's one of the kindest moments. It should not be a moment for rebuke. It should be a moment that's only love. A kid should never be scared to come and get his blessing Friday night. A kid should look forward to it as a moment where he knows he will get a kiss from his parent, he will give a kiss to his parent, and there's nothing else about that moment. Don't taint that moment. There are moments that are the most beautiful moments in Jewish life. The moment when you bless your kid before going to shul on Yom Kippur, there's one of the most beautiful blessings, a very long blessing that a parent gives his child. You bless them that they should have a good livelihood. They should be able to make their livelihood without working hard. They should be able to make their livelihood honestly. They should find themselves naturally excited to do the wish of Hashem. There are beautiful components to that blessing. That's an exciting moment. You should be excited. They should be excited. There are moments which should not be tainted. Remember to discern between the moments. If we don't create moments that are moments of pure love, they will not come on their own. If you don't decide consciously, at the Shabbos table I won't fight with my kids, you will fight with your kids. If you don't decide consciously that before the kid goes to school I won't yell at them, then before the kid goes to school you will yell at them. If you don't decide consciously that the last minutes before a kid goes to sleep, I want them to go to sleep feeling loved, I'm not going to yell at them, then the last minutes before they go to sleep, boy, will you yell at them. You have to make choices. You have to define times. By defining times, you create positive times. It's part of our job as those in charge of running the family. And the same is true with your spouse. Anytime you intend to go on a date, you know what's going to happen? The last hour before the date, she will get on your nerves. She will make you wish that you did not invite her to a date. And it is the most natural thing in the world to go into a date, to go into vacation, to go into Shabbos, to go into the night that she goes to mikvah, fighting, upset, yelling. You have to make a choice. I'm going to forgo the lines she says that are hurtful to me, and I will create a positive atmosphere. And even if that means that the first few minutes of the date I have to bite my tongue because I'm really upset at the things she said to me the last hour before we went out on the date, create the moments. Otherwise they won't be there. So they bless her. They're ticked at her. They just tried bargaining with this guy. They just told him, well, ask the girl. And that was the cue for her to say, no, guys, give me a second. I'm a little girl. This is my family. My father just died last night. You can't just rush me out of here. And Rebecca turns the tables on them. And she says, with you, without you, I'm going. They bless her. They see the moment. And they say, we're not going to discuss the fact that she just turned the tables on us, and we could have squeezed more money out of them, and we could have gotten a better deal out of them. No. We're going to bless Rebecca because these are our last minutes with her because she's leaving today. And so they bless her, and from them we learn the importance of blessing a child when they go off to the chuppah. I told parents recently, I said, by the time your daughter goes to the chuppah, she got engaged today, in 3 months she's going to the chuppah, believe me, that final week you're going to wait for her to leave the house. That's the way it goes. When you bring up a girl, then the last months between engagement and wedding, she drives you crazy. She brings you to a point where you say, good riddance. Right? You're at a point where she's driven you absolutely up the wall. Most children come to the chuppah, most daughters come to the wedding where they're happy to leave the house and their parents are happy they're going. Because those months between engagement and marriage are very stressful for the girl and her family. You have to create a different atmosphere, which involves a lot of forgoing, which involves a lot of forgiving. We are out of time. If you guys choose, then tomorrow morning we can finish the parsha. We did not yet finish the parsha, and there are a few more concepts to talk about. Or you could pick it up online. Last year, the year before, many series, 10 series out there on the parsha.